listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's May 11th.
Rightio, that's Andy's go. Here's Mike to take care of the sponsor stuff. And we'll be right back to hear what year Andy chose to remember that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
My go, May 11th, Ham.
Where are we going? What year are we talking?
I think it was a few years to choose from. I liked 2007.
Early days.
We talked to my now brother-in-law's grandma, who had turned 100 that day.
I remember first 100-year-old we'd had on the show.
Yes.
Did we talk about her losing her pinky toe?
Yes. you just reminded me of that, yes.
She lost circulation in her foot and they just cut it off because it was just a dead end.
Yeah.
So like, look, you're running out of blood in your body. No point sending any down here. You're not using it very much. Just road for the blood to drive on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that by shortening the loop, you improving circulation.
We're actually increasing the percentage of blood in your body and we might have a little squiz around for any more dead ends, cul-de-sacs that we could get rid of.
But I didn't want to – I mean, I did, but there was something else that caught my eye ahead of Yuna. We're in Japan in 2009.
Were we? Yes, we were.
But again, it's not what I want to talk about. But we did.
Weren't we there for Tom Hanks?
We're there for Tom Hanks and Ron Howard.
Oh, yeah, of course, Ron. We do often just refer to Tom as being the person that requested us.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, Tom wanted us to come over and have a chat to him for 9 minutes about his new film Angels and Demons.
Yes.
The not as good follow-up to The Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
Not what we said at the time.
No.
It's not a bad film. No. Just The Da Vinci Code. I think he nailed The Da Vinci Code.
Do you remember what happened in the screening of that and we weren't allowed to tell Tom Hanks?
That's right. That's right. They put the film in upside down.
Yeah. So what happened was, and Mike, you might know this, but often before you're a big movie star, and back in the day they used to have these junkets where they'd happily fly you to a different country to interview the star.
No, Mike, it was the life.
Yes.
Me and Andy's first few trips overseas were thanks to such hit films as Dukes of Hazzard.
There's 2 weeks in New York.
2 weeks in New York thanks to Dukes of Hazzard. Yes. Because no one else could be bothered going at the radio station. Everyone was like, no, we've got breakfast and drive shows. And me and Andy were like, well, we're Saturday mornings. We'll go. We went to the Cannes Film Festival.
Yes.
And interviewed Bill Murray as representatives of the Hit Network.
It's important, though, that we watch the films and they really the movie companies really drub into you.
They really like
you've
you
got
to
watch
the film.
You've got to watch the film.
And I'd always go, isn't it better if we don't watch the film? Because then we're talking to them like someone who's interested in going to see the film.
Their job would be to convince us.
Yeah.
Everyone listening.
And then they always went, no, we'll see the film.
So we went to Hoyt's to watch the film.
Did we?
Angels and Demons. And
they used to be great, those screenings too, because it was like it was almost like a reunion. Like you'd go in there and there'd be like, you know, Rove or...
Yeah, because he might have one of them on his show coming
up. You'd just have like random...
Hughie and Kate because they are on the breakfast show on Nova.
You'd just bump into like... It was kind of like a mini Logies at the screening.
Yeah. And it was a weird part in the film where it was at Vatican City. And they're waiting for the Pope to be announced something and the smoke and all stuff. And then Haim and I, it suddenly went, everything started going backwards.
Mm.
And the sound was all really warped. And we're like, this is an interesting choice from the director.
Yeah.
And before about 2 minutes of that, before lights all went on, and a representative came out and said, hey, the projectionist has put the final one in backwards, reel in backwards.
I don't know how you do that. Mike, were you ever a projectionist?
No, but I remember...
Seems like the kind of job you would have had.
But when we went to see the final Harry Potter film, the premiere at Crown Casino in Melbourne, there was no audio on the when it started.
Yeah, right.
So it was just dead silent.
And did everyone go, oh, this is clever?
No, everyone freaked out and then they had to start it again.
Well, the lady said, hey... we will take time to re-spool it.
Yeah.
It'll be around about a 30-minute wait and then we can get it going again. And Haim and I are kind of like, oh, yeah, we possibly could do that. But most other people who've been used to these junkets were like, nah, we're out of here. And so everyone ended up leaving and they said, you mustn't tell Ron Howard or Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that you haven't seen the end.
You haven't seen the end.
Do you remember my other big secret?
No.
The Rock for Tooth Fairy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I didn't. You did see it?
No.
Did I leave early? Did we both leave early?
I didn't see it. You were meant to see it on our behalf, and then you didn't go. It's my recommendation.
Well, no. Here's what happened. I remember one of us was meant to see it, and I must have snuck out, and they saw me. I think I left before it began.
Got his name ticked off.
I think I got my name ticked off and snuck out, and the film rep saw me and then called our producer Sam and dobbed
That's
on
right.
me.
He got dobbed on, and Sam came in at the next meeting and said, "Did you leave too fast?"
And, I said, "I think I left before the end." No, this is the crazy thing, Mike. And then they get in your head going, uh-oh, The Rock is going to be so angry at us because we haven't seen
exactly.
him. Because they make you think like The Rock's going to come in and you're like, hey, Dwayne Johnson, it's so good to have you on the show. He's going to go, shut up, what happened at 45 minutes yeah. in?
What colour pants was I wearing in the third scene?
There was a car chase using a very iconic car. Name the car. Go.
So you
they don't care. He doesn't care at all. You're the 24th of 62 interviews yep. he's doing that day. He's just like, when's my next snack? Yep. When's my next break? How can I just get through this 8 minutes with whoever these guys are? But you do panic if you haven't seen the film.
I think you told me a story once, Andy, about some musician came into a show, like a radio show, and was like, and the person was saying, oh, this album's great. And then the artist was like, what's the single called? And they didn't know.
Oh, there's plenty of those.
Andy would always cover for me with the Muso ones.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, yeah, you know, I generally did across it. We were pretty professional.
We were pretty good. Yeah. We were very, very good. And usually, like, occasionally, if one of us, and this was rare, like, this maybe on three or four times, if one of us just couldn't make the screening, the other one would see it and then slip the other guy some questions to make it look like.
Yeah,
we'd both seen it.
But we'd always overduce those questions. When you've received one from the other guy, you'd always go, look, I loved the action sequence and that green jet ski.
That grappling hook, which of course I noticed had five prongs. So they're going, great, well done. Just ask the question.
Well, I didn't want to take us to Japan because I know there'll be more fun things that happen in Japan when that date comes up. We did play toilet roulette, which I remember you and I sitting on a toilet. We didn't know what each button was because it was in Japanese writing.
Yeah,
until it squirted. And we'd sit on a toilet and we'd have taken turns to press the button and see what happened. But
Mike, you've been to Japan, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done that. Great game.
wow.
Nor did I want to go
so young,
to
so traveled.
2016 to relive us chatting about Google Glasses that had just come out.
Is that as late as 2016?
That's what it says on the book. But 2010 is where I arrived at. It was the day we had Vince Colosimo in to talk about Wog Boy 2, but I'm not
please.
But I'm not.
Please.
No, we're not talking. We're not.
All right. What date is this? May 11th? Yeah. I'm picking this. I'm going to pick May 11th.
It was also the
Can you make a note, Mike? I'm going to pick May 11th and I want to hear.
It's random.
Yeah, no, but see if it comes up for me. I want to hear if it's closer to talking about Wog Boy 2. Because, I mean, you talk about an in-depth film chat. That's another one of those classics where Vince would have been going, you know, making the film was great, sort of, you know, would have been quite a lot of filmmaking chat.
And the Wog Boy was so successful.
Huge.
And they think they made this, 10 years later or something? And so they would have thought it was going to go gangbusters.
It was Wog Boy 2, Kings of Mykonos. And it essentially had. Now, I had not been to Mykonos in 2010. I've since been.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed trying to spot some locations as I was there. But I watch the film now, or like I think about the film now, and I go, we know exactly what those guys were doing. They just went and had a 3-month holiday in Mykonos, and like, well, just totally hanging out in Mykonos.
As we said, we just kind of look at a sheet that has a one line of what the break might have been, and this is what caught my eye, Ham. It's going to be a trip down memory lane more for you than me, but it just says Hamish's new girl has a cat.
Oh, classic.
And I just love the idea that your new girl is now your wife. And
it's 10 years ago.
And that cat is
still with us.
A long-term family member.
Yeah, but
What do you remember? I mean, we're about to hear, I don't know, but do you remember, what do you think you said about the cat?
Early days with Meowman, I was a fan from the start.
Yep.
I think I would have been positive about him.
Well, of course you would, because you'd know Zoe would be listening and you were still in
wouldn't have been that dumb. No, I think by that stage I knew she just didn't listen to the show, didn't have time, And back then I think when we got together she was still working in an office each day, so she wasn't out by 6 o'clock. So I knew I had a bit of cover to talk freely.
That was one thing, Mike, that we did all the time.
You'd kind of gauge where your girlfriend was at the time.
Yeah, if your girlfriend was overseas traveling, boy, were you unleashing.
And then skeletons galore would come tumbling out of the closet.
Yeah, you're the toughest guy in the room. It's almost as soon as customs are cleared, you're back to being your typical.
Can I just give you guys a quick top 100 things my girlfriend does that's lovely, reasonable, and appreciated? Yeah.
Well, Ivan heard this. Before we jump into it, Mike, please give our friends a nod.
Yeah. Do your thing, Mike.
Well done, Mike. Do what? Okay.
Well done, Mike. Another
thanks,
cracker.
Guys.
So when we pick this up, I have not heard this.
Here's my tip. I remember early days of the cat. I was pretty stoked that the cat liked me because
that's always a win.
No, it was more than a win. It was necessary. It was critical because Zoe's the kind of person that's like, you could get so stitched up because she's sort of like, well, Meow, but he's a good judge of character. Yep. He only likes nice people. And you're like, there's no way he is. He's not a very smart cat.
And how long do you reckon you've been going out for roughly?
A few months by this stage.
Okay.
And so I remember just going, thank you. To meow, but quietly, just like, I don't know what I did, mate, but you've made me look good.
Yeah. Okay.
The 11th of May, 2010.
And have you ever had an animal make you look like a hero?
No.
An animal make you look good? I call them animal endorsements, right?
I think I know what you're talking about now,
right?
Yeah.
I've started seeing a new girl, right? Mm. And she has a cat at her house. And our policy on cats to this point, we're in line with each other.
We're
both fairly anti-cat. Oh, not anti-cat, just not massively pro-cat.
No, they're a nuisance.
Okay, anti. I've got to say that I do like this cat.
Oh, no, you don't. You like, well, I know what's happened. I reckon I can pick it, and you like what it's giving you. You don't like the cat.
How's this for a free kick, right?
Yeah, I know.
I'm over at the house. Yeah. I'm lying on the couch. The cat leaps up onto the couch.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I'm not doing anything else. Yeah. I'm not going to kick it off. Walks over, gets on my chest, puts its head down on my face, essentially.
Yeah. Annoying.
And a bit of me thought, I should get rid of the cat here. But then I thought, no, there's a chance I could look cute here. There's a chance this might look good. So he walks into the room and goes, oh, that's amazing. He's never done that. For anyone else, that is incredible. I have to take a photo. That's the cutest thing. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. And I'm lying there going, how good's this? I haven't done anything. This cat has made me look like a hero.
I'm doing what is normally very unattractive, lying on the couch with my stomach hanging out.
Other things are being done. Dishes are being done. Food's being prepared. I'm just lying on the couch. And I'm sitting there going, you magnificent bastard to this cat.
You have feline.
Made me look like a hero. Ooh. Photos are being taken.
Yeah.
Forwarded on.
Yeah.
Apparently this is such a phenomenal event. Mm. This has been forwarded on to several people.
I knew this would be the case. Once again,
do anything. It's like when dolphins swim up to you and everyone thinks you're magical because dolphins like you.
You don't like the cat.
I love what the cat's done. The cat has endorsed me. It's like having Robert De Niro on a billboard going, Andy Lee, yeah, he's a good guy. It's a great endorsement to have.
Hamish and Andy.
I remember him well. I remember it well.
Does he still like you as much?
Yeah, now he's my cat. Yeah. I mean, now we're best mates. But looking back on it though, I never really think about things from the cat's perspective. But I mean, he was there. He was with Zoe from a little kitten. Mm. Then I came along not too long after that. He was only a year old or so when I came along.
And it's thinking, this is the fourth guy I've had in this house.
What are these? Not at all. Very selective. Only one to get the cat's endorsement. Mm. He must now, you know, he will sort of, like, you know, this morning I'm in the kids' room playing with the kids. We're rumbling around. We're playing a game with a giant bunny rabbit and hitting each other and stuff. And I did notice him at the door today. Mm. And he just kind of pokes his head in and keeps walking, patrols around. He must go, I hope you appreciate what I did to you. Because I see things have worked out not too shabby. Yes. Not too shabby. You made two... You made two of the little things that do chase me around and pull my tail, although less these days. And I can't help but feel that he probably remembers it very well. That's the look he's given me.
Yeah.
You owe me, punk.
Great remembering.
You owe me.
Listener.